I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
Welcome to Buttons and Figs. Buttons and Figs is a podcast for kids about nonsense. I'm your host, Pamela Rogers. Each episode, I'll share a yarn or two, sail about in a sieve, and share kid recordings of nonsense created by listeners like you. So each episode, listen for recording challenges that will turn your head green and your hands blue. So let's get started.
On this episode, we're going to set sail. Oh, weird. Those bats just flew by. Well, never mind. I'll just row over this way. Oh, all these odd things are floating around. I'm going to row this way to get a better look. Let's see. What is that? It appears to be an unstrung harp. With strings? What is that floating by? It looks like an abandoned sock. What? Oh, hold your nose. Oof, that stinks. Let's get away from that. Oh no. Now here's something else. It's a pair of boots. And they seem to be really sad. Like they're galoshes of remorse. What? Weird. I don't even know why I just said that. That is... No one says that. What's coming along now? Oh, let me count them. There seems to be a lot of people in that sieve. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 26 tiny kids? Well, excuse me. Maybe we can get some answers. Can you come on over here? Yeah, hi guys. Who are you?
We are the Gashly Crumb Tinies.
I am Amy, who fell down the stairs.
I'm Basil, assaulted by bears.
Oh, wow, that's really gory.
Of course, because that's who drew us.
And wrote our story.
Who?
Why Edward Gorey.
Oh, now I get it. All these objects I'm seeing are titles of books or illustrations by Edward Gorey. The unstrung harp, the abandoned sock, the galoshes of remorse, and one of his most famous, the Gashly Crumb Tinies. Oh, this is so exciting, because Edward Gorey is one of the most famous American writers of nonsense. So let's set sail to the land of Edward Gorey's nonsense. On this episode, we get to talk to children's book author Lori Mortensen, who just released a picture book biography of Edward Gorey, titled Nonsense, The Curious Story of Edward Gorey. She'll share her research process for how she finds the best little nuggets to share with her readers when she tells the story of someone else's life. And we have a really fun wordplay challenge inspired by a curious little fact about Edward Gorey. So let's get started. Here is an excerpt read by Lori Mortensen, the author of Nonsense, The Curious Story of Edward Gorey.
Then one day, young Edward read the whimsical Alice in Wonderland and the frightfully gruesome Dracula, one after the other. A strange combination that captured his imagination like a penguin sipping tea on a runaway train. For you see, while Alice was quaint and curious, Dracula was dark and disturbing. This would change his life. Oh, pardon me. Did I mention? His name was Edward Gorey.
Edward Gorey was born February 22nd, 1925, in Chicago, Illinois, and lived for 75 years. Throughout his lifetime, they believe he illustrated over 300 books for others.
He drew so much, they lost count.
But in 1953, he began writing and illustrating his own books, the first being The Unstrung Harp. And when all was said and done, he wrote and illustrated over 100 of his own. Here is Lori Mortensen talking about how she came to want to create a biography of this unique and prolific artist.
Now, I happened to be listening to a podcast about Edward Gorey on the stuff you missed in history class one morning. Every morning I go on a 2-mile walk through my neighborhood, and I heard this podcast and I thought, his name sure sounds familiar. I wonder if it's the same guy that illustrated this particular book, and I have it in my office right here. It's called The Man Who Sang the Sillies, written by
John Chardy,
but illustrated by Edward Gorey. And you can see his kind of black ink sketchy style in that drawing. And I was excited to find out that I had known him since I was a little kid, you know. And so when I started researching his life, it was exciting to put his story together, because he has also got a unique story about following his own inclinations and his own artistry.
So when a biographer like Lori puts together someone else's story, she has to decide which parts of his life she's going to share with readers like you.
For Edward Gorey, I thought, he was a child prodigy. He taught himself to read when he was 3. He was drawing pictures when he was little, and he was the only child. I thought that made him a unique character in this life, although he said he had an ordinary life, and I'm sure he did. But then he's got these little stopping points along the way, like being put into the army. Here's this creative guy, we understand, because he's always drawing now and he's reading prolifically, but then he got stuck into the army in the Utah desert somewhere, where they actually tested poisonous gas. And he said, this is in the research, but like there was a whole herd of sheep that perished. So, you know, things are going on, and no wonder it was as nasty as he mentioned it to be. But so you've got this artistic person put in this drab setting, and you know that he wants something more. And then we see he's now made the leap into going to college and exploring the different arts, and what's he going to do? And we find out even now he doesn't know. He's just kind of up in the air, but we know he's got something to give, you know, because of the beginning. He's a child prodigy with these wonderful talents. And so then he ends up going to Doubleday in New York. And okay, now he's kind of found a direction. He's illustrating for a lot of different people, and that's all good. But what is next? What's going to be that thing that opens up his world to his larger contribution? You know, and that is deciding, kind of hearkening back to his impression in childhood, where you could put together the curious and the dangerous.
And it is that curious and dangerous mix that made his work so unique. But it also meant that his work wasn't necessarily for kids.
A lot of stuff was not written for kids. He had a few books were written for children. And you can see why. He's got this, if you read his other things, like you say, they're kind of gentle and flowing, but then there's this darkness and this strange ending. It's like, whoa, and you just didn't realize he might go there, but he does. A lot of irony and just kind of messing with your expectations and the typical happy ending, which there aren't, you know.
And this dark and curious nature of his didn't just present itself in his work. Lori and her illustrator, Chloe Bristol, present a really vivid description of his style.
His appearance was very distinctive. He set himself apart. I mean, when he was in the army, he was in the uniform. He did all that stuff that soldiers do. But then when he got off on his own, he felt very free to express himself in the choices he made about his appearance. And especially I noted that, you know, who was that strange chap with the long coat and the sneakers and all that stuff? You know, when everyone else, and especially in that era, was wearing the white shirt and ties and the suits. You know, and so even then he was expressing himself, even though he didn't know, he hadn't found his path yet. But he was very willing to go with his own ideas.
And one of his ideas that Lori learned about and shares in her book is that Edward Gorey liked to publish some of his books using fake names. But not just any fake name. He took the letters of his own name, E-D-W-A-R-D-G-O-R-E-Y, and he mixed them all up to make silly new names. And this type of wordplay, where you take the letters of one word and mix them all up to make new words, is called an anagram. In Lori's book, she shares 11 different names that Edward Gorey was able to make from the letters of his name, such as Gerard Weedy and Edora Reg. Here is Lori with some tips for how to go about making anagrams with the letters of your name.
I went out and did my own anagrams with my Scrabble tiles. You know, because that was a fun and easy way to do it. And what I know, there's software out there that says make anagrams and it will give you 1,000 results in a second. But that is not the fun way to do it. The fun way is working it out yourself and figuring out which letters go together, like STRs go together, or, you know, there's certain letter combinations we're familiar with, ST or TR or CKs or whatever it is. You know, you got to know those letter combinations to come up with reasonable anagrams that really work. So, I mean, I worked on it for like half an hour or an hour, just because there's so many combinations. If you use your full name, you can just keep moving things around and you make notes, and it's a lot of fun.
I think it's time to play with words and try Edward Gorey's idea to make up some new silly names using the letters of our names.
Play with words.
Here are some Buttons and Figs listeners who use the letters of their own names to come up with new silly names. And once they said their new names aloud, they found it quite natural to imagine what kind of book that person might write. Keep in mind, as you listen to each person give different names, that each of those names are spelled using the exact same letters.
My name is Dr. Sen Hactilintio, and I write horror and nonfiction.
My name is Saura Nacto Tanini, and I write cooking and food books.
My name is Dante Corahisto, and I write Dia de los Muertos-themed fairy tales.
My name is Charlie Demonson. I write horror and ghost stories.
My name is Harlan Conesdiem, and I write westerns.
My name is Mr. Snidely Nochoa, and I write South and Central American travel books.
Hello, my name's Jessica Power. But when I'm writing, I also go by
W.A. Rockshape, and he writes fitness manuals.
Or
Shaw Ace Pork, and I write Air Force thrillers.
Or
Ape Rock Shaw, and I write wilderness survival handbooks.
Hi, I'm Leilani Power. But when I'm writing, I'm
Irene Wylap. I write children's books.
Or
my name is Ali Waperine. I separate the wheat from the chaff in restaurants.
Top of the morning to ya. My name is Owen Powell,
and I write scripts for documentaries.
My name is Mirabelle Power, but when I write books, I am...
Then my hair will burn and I write tragedies.
My name is Beer Air Mop WL, and I write cookbooks.
My name is Rob Moore Lerb, and I write comedy.
Hello there, my name is Pamby Real Row, and I write books on gardening.
My name is Miss Opal Greer, and I write nonsense mysteries.
My name is May Rope Growls. I can't wait to share my barbecue cookbook.
My name is Greela Possmar. I write science fiction.
I can't wait for all these new books. So now it's your turn. Take out your Scrabble tiles if you have the game, or just write out the letters of your name with spaces in between and cut out each letter. Using Scrabble tiles or cutting out the letters of your name just helps you move them around so you can find the common letter blends, as Lori suggested. Once you find a new silly name, write it down and say it aloud. Then, think about what kind of book that person would write. If you'd like to share your silly new names, find a grown-up to help you make a call to 623-282-4080. That's 623-282-4080. And leave me a message with your anagram silly names and the books they would write. Lori also has a YouTube video showing you how Edward Gorey played with anagrams. You can find a link to her video at buttonsandfigs.com or on YouTube. And to find out more about Gorey's story, make sure you read Nonsense, A Curious Story of Edward Gorey. And if you want to try Edward Gorey's anagram play right now, you can pause the episode here. Be sure to come back to hear Lori Mortensen share more about the research it takes to write about the life of another. Author Lori Mortensen has written over 100 children's books herself, many of them biographies or stories about other people. Lori, will you share more about how you go about researching the life of another?
Well, I've worked for a lot of different publishers, and sometimes the publishers know what they want, and they say, would you write a biography about so-and-so? And so I've done all of that, but interestingly, every time I research somebody, and you think, oh, I know about that person, whether, you know, like an American history kind of thing, like Thomas Jefferson or Amelia Earhart, or any of those people, you think, you know the story. But then you get into the research, I think, isn't this marvelous? I found these little beautiful nuggets of information about this person, and I get excited about telling their story. For example, long ago, I wrote about Amelia Earhart, and one of the things somebody had written in her yearbook was, to the girl in brown who walks alone. I mean, that says so much about her. So I find these little nuggets, and it's just very exciting to share that world with young readers. Now, one of the biographies that came out last year was about Isabella Bird, a Victorian traveler. Now, I hadn't heard about her at all, but I was doing some research online and I discovered her. And I thought, oh, I wonder who this person was. She was the first female member of the Royal Geographical Society. And I thought, what did you have to do to be noticed in that way and to achieve that kind of acknowledgement? And so the more I got into her story, the more exciting her story became. And so I wrote a biography about her. People's real lives are very complex. And so when you write a picture book biography, you really have to kind of condense it down. And that's one of the things I love about picture book biographies, is because you've got to take those most interesting little nuggets and find that thread in their life, that meaningful thread that will leave the reader with an idea or an impression of something. If you just included everything, it wouldn't, you go kind of shrug your shoulders and go, what were you trying to say? And so biographers, even for picture books, have to find those important moments that support that thread throughout the story. And I do it just on my own intuition, is how I feel about it. I think, this is important. This is a key. This is a turning point, in that you, people have little turning points all through their lives. And when you put them all together, you think, ah, how exciting, you know? And you have to do a lot of research. And interestingly, these days, editors want to be able to see your research. And so it's really turned into an online thing. In the past, I would have gone to the library and printed up, made copies of the hard pages, you know. But nowadays, editors, I need to see what you're looking at. And so it's all links. You include links to where you've been. And of course, you want to go to reliable sources, but that's, the research is where it all begins. And when you start finding duplicate kinds of things, you kind of think, okay, I've kind of seen the picture out there of what this subject is about. It's always important to go a little deeper. It's not just the surface stuff, like the Wikipedia. You know, maybe it's out there, but don't trust it. There's better sources, more reliable sources. And so when you find talking to like museums, universities, and experts, they're all out there. They're all online. Most people are happy to talk to you about what they're passionate about. And usually that's what they're involved with. You know, curators at museums, they're happy to answer questions. Even authors of adult books. If I'm writing a children's biography, especially like I wrote about Léon Foucault, the man who proved the earth turned with his pendulum, I talked to the authors of those adult books that were like 2 inches thick books and, you know, compared notes and asked for some information, and they were happy to share. So the research is a lot of fun. It's like Sherlock Holmes, you know, what are you going to find out there? It's very fun.
Now it's your turn to be a biographer, a Sherlock Holmes. Pick a person you admire or look up to. And as Lori recommends, begin with research. Dig deep and learn all you can about that person. And be sure to use all of the online tools that are available right now, whether it's through libraries and their online resources, or museums, or just reaching out to experts. As Lori said, the more you get into a story, the more interesting it becomes. And as you're doing that research, look for the turning points in that person's life, the interesting little nuggets, so you can find the thread of their story and follow it. Once you gather all of your research, then write their biography and share what you learned about that person with your family, teachers, and friends. And who knows, you might just catch the excitement of writing like Lori Mortensen did.
I have been many, many things over the years, and I didn't start writing until I was a mother at home with 3 children. I'd always loved reading since I was small and listening to stories, but I wasn't really a writer until I just caught that excitement. I've been writing ever since.
And we are so grateful. If you enjoyed hearing Lori talk about Edward Gorey and her research, be sure to listen to our full conversation, where you'll hear more about Isabella Bird and about her upcoming project she's working on. You'll find our full interview at buttonsandfigs.com. To discover all of Lori Mortensen's books, be sure to visit lorimortensen.com. Also, be sure to support your local independent bookstores during these times. You can start by ordering Nonsense, The Curious Story of Edward Gorey. Written by Lori Mortensen, illustrated by Chloe Bristol. Published by Versify, an imprint of HMH Books. You can find many of Lori Mortensen's books in ebook format, too, from your local public library. Thank you so much, Lori. for giving graciously of your time and talent to inspire us to read, play, and write. A Wordplay thanks goes out to Mike and Chloe Anderson for their anagram play. And a special shout out to fellow podcasters from the Power family. Thanks, Chaska, Leilani, and Mirabelle, for sharing your anagram names. And listeners, if you're wondering what to read next, be sure to listen to their podcast, Book Power for Kids. They not only give great book reviews, they also bring those stories to life. Their latest episodes include a review of Aru Shah and the End of Time and 50 Women in Science. You can find all of their episodes at bookpowerforkids.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Well, that does it for another perfectly nonsensical episode. Join us next time when your head turns green and your hands turn blue. Thanks for listening to me and you and me. Be safe and take care out there. This is Buttons and Figs, a podcast for kids, and I'm your host,
Miss Opal Greer.
May Rope Growls.
Grilla Passmore.
How pleasant to know you are listening.
My name is Dr. San Hactilintio.
W.A. Rockshape.
My name is Beer Air Mop W.L.
My name is Ollie Whiprine. I separate the wheat from the chaff in restaurants.